Last week, as we listened to the Word of God, we listened and found out about a prophet named Obadiah. And Obadiah warned the nation of Edom, don't do what you're getting ready to do. They did it anyway. And Obadiah comes back and he says, though you stood at a distance, this focuses on individuals who say that I have a heart to do what is right, but I want to stand at a distance because if I stand for what I believe is right, criticism is going to come my way. For after all, we live in a time period, in a generation that does not want to hear the name of God, and especially the name of Jesus Christ, his Son. And Obadiah says, though you stand at a distance, I find you just as guilty as those who slaughtered. Folks, we're coming up, it seems like every year, in a political season. And I tell folks this all the time. You vote your heart, the heart of God. But remember this. If you vote for individuals who uphold the slaughter of the unborn, if you stand strong with those individuals who mock God, God will find you just as guilty as though you did it yourself. Now that's the scripture. If you have problem with that, take it up with God. I didn't write it. Just as guilty, standing at a distance. Oh, but I'm not guilty, because I said nothing, I did nothing. I was there, but I didn't do anything. The Word of God says, I find you just as guilty for not doing what I called you to do as you would be if you had done it yourself in the slaughters. Today, I want us to listen to a call from God. Folks, we are living in troubled times. We're living in times to where our own nation is about to fall and to crumble from the sin within. We witness it. We see it. Where are we standing? And people will ask, where's the urgency? Why are you preaching such as the urgency of standing? Why the urgency? Listen to Amos. Amos 8, verses 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. Almost every message that I bring from God anymore is a warning that one day, God says that he will cease to strive with men. There will be a great gap. And God says, I'm looking. I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for a people. Who will go for me and represent me? God spoke to Ezekiel, another one of his prophets. And Ezekiel was looking at a generation no different from the one in which we're living in today. And as Ezekiel looked to this generation, God told him, Ezekiel, I want you to look for a man who to stand in the gap. And then we hear the word of God. But I found none. Ezekiel 22 verses 30 and 33. I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. He's not talking about dirt. He's talking about the land of human beings. A generation of sin and rejection of the word of God. And it goes on and says, but I found none. So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all they have done. The judgment against the human race is the judgment that the human race brings on itself. We will be judged according to what we have done. Be good or be evil, we will be judged accordingly. Therefore, the judgment, Jesus said, is not from him. The judgment is in our own actions. The judgment that is coming on the human race is the judgment of what we have done ourselves. As we have done to others, it shall be done to us. So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with the fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all they have done, declares the sovereign Lord. Now, when God makes a declaration, you and I need to listen. When God speaks, we need to hear the voice of God. What's the gap, preacher? What's the gap? You will see many pamphlets that are out there. And in those pamphlets, you will see the world of sin here and heaven here. And then you will see in those pamphlets where the cross is drawn, to where Christ dies on that cross and brings us in the presence of God the Father. Remember those? You see those. And they're great. When Jesus came to die on your behalf, my behalf, individually and collectively. He died for the church. And as Jesus walked and he talked and he preached with his disciples to the nations that he went to, Jesus told them, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. What was he saying? I'm covering the gap between sin of the world and God, eternal life. I'm covering the gap. Look at the cross. And as we would look at the cross, we would find the love that God showed us so much that he would send his only begotten Son and hold back the fury of his wrath, because his Son stood in the gap. Jesus never said anything that wasn't for a purpose. He never spoke a word that God the Father didn't give him. He says that. But then he warned his disciples, and they were having a horrible time understanding it, as the church does today. Same horrible time understanding. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have eternity with me. I've come for you. But then he stands and speaks to his disciples. I am leaving soon. I'm going away to sit at the right hand of my Father. There I will be praying for you. I will tell my Father that you belong to me. But then he says to them, now I want you to take the purse I fed you before. I want you to get a sword I protected you before. But I want you to do something. You know what he was calling them to do? I'm going to the Father. I died for the church. I died for your sins. If I go to the Father, I will not be present here to where you can see me as I stand in the gap on your behalf. It has been done. It has been sealed. Therefore, I command the church, stand in the gap, church. Stand in the gap. Be heard. Listen to my word. Listen to my truth. Represent my Son. Stand in the gap. For the world does not have a hope unless God's children stand in the gap. The world is looking. Vicious and vile is the world. It is a place to where your child, your teenager, your middle age, your elderly will fall into the traps of Satan. Do we see the church today standing in a gap? Do we see the church of Jesus Christ today so self-centered that we will not give of our talents? We won't even, if you won't give of your talents, you won't give of your wealth. You won't give of the goodness that God has given. How can we say that we stand in the gap if we do not stand for what Christ told us to stand for? What God do we serve? The God of self-indulgence? God has told each and every one of us to enjoy the fruit of our labor. God did not say don't enjoy life. He said enjoy. And the more you give, the more I'll give to you to enjoy. Now you listen to me. God says, here's what I want from you. I want you to stand in the gap. Who's representing the cross today? Is it government? Is it the world? Is it the church? Do we represent the one we say that we owe all to? Do we only give lip service to the God of creation? The God that created all, created me and created you. Do you know why the God created all? For me and for you. I've created all that exists. And God says, I've named the stars. I don't know of any astrologer that can say that. God said, I've got a name for every star. I know every hair on your head. I know the ones that ought to be there. I know. Do you know that God counts your tears? Do you know that God sees every tear that falls? And every tear that falls, that God is looking at the heart to see why those tears fell? Do you realize that God loved us so much that he stood back and withheld all the power of creation that he could have brought against the human race as he listened to his only begotten Son in the garden, weeping and crying, sweating to the point as though it was drops of blood coming from him for you and for me? He was standing in the gap between heaven and hell for you and for me. Ask his disciples to pray. They went to sleep. Many times when that lesson is taught, the teachers and the preachers will say, shouldn't have done that. Disciples, don't you realize? You were staring at God's face in the human race and you went to sleep. Is there any difference in the church today that falls asleep? Will we not watch? Will we not listen any longer to the Word of God? Will we seek people who will tickle our ears and let us know everything's okay when all hell is against the greatest nation that's ever been known? When all hell is standing ready to take over every church who say they represent Jesus Christ? If you will not represent Jesus Christ through your own individual heart, you will not witness for Him through any church, I don't care how big it is. If we will not stand strong, standing in the gap, can we hear the prophets of old sharing the message with the prophets of our day? The message still the same? Why? Too many are still standing in the world instead of standing in the gap. It's much easier for me to back off than to stand. Yes, it is. Do you reckon that Jesus took the easy way when He came? Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. There is a cross for me. But Jesus bore a cross so heavy, because at the time He carried that cross, He carried the cross for all who had gone on before, for all who are coming after. He took every sin. He took every burden. And He was walking straight to Golgotha. And He fell. From the human standpoint of the overweight of the cross He was to bear. And then upon the giving of His life, He said, "It is finished." And the Scripture says that each one of us have a cross. We are to bear not that heavy load Jesus bore, but we are to bear the cross of the day. The cross that He's called us to bear. Is it to preach His word? Is it to stand strong? Is it to die for what is right? Is it not to live for the truth? Is it not to share the hope that you and I have? What a cross, sort of light. He says, you need not bear your cross alone, no. I'll be there. I'll be with you. You saw how I had to be helped. So will I help you. I want you to stand strong, church. The warning is loud and the warning is clear. I will not thrive with the heart of man forever. They will look and they will not find. For I will black out my word, and those I've sent to proclaim it, I will bring home. And the world will search. Do we not live in a world today that's looking for some kind of hope? And yet, nobody has any peace. Nobody is standing in a gap. And God looks to the church and He says, where are you? Did you not praise the name of my Son when you said you believe? Did you not promise in your heart to follow Him? Did you not listen to His promise to you that He'll take care of it? And yet you refuse to follow? And yet you refuse to give of the abundance that I've given to you, talents, the gifts, and yet I'm looking at a gap. Where's my church? Are we filled with so much hatred and bitterness for the enemies of God that we don't understand that you and I were saved by the grace of God? That you and I were saved while we were still in the sinning state? He died for us. Do we think that that ended, folks? It did not. You and I are to proclaim the truth, standing in the gap between destruction and heaven. Standing in the gap to proclaim, thus saith the Lord thy God, whosoever will, let him come. And I will in no wise turn away. How will they know if the Christian does not speak it? How will they understand if the Christians do not teach it? As God watches in the latter days, looking for his people, when the prophets come, when all is over, who will be found guilty of not standing in the gap? I don't have a choice. When I said yes to Jesus and I asked him to send me, I have no choice as to where he sends me. I have no desire to fight against where he sends me. And I know the word that he sent me with. And that word is stand in the gap. Church, there's a purpose. It's not all fun and games. Yet I will make you the wealthiest of all the nations. The most poverty stricken in the United States of America, if that term can even be used, has more than 2/3 of the rest of the world and lives better. And yet, God says, be strong. Proclaim my truth and proclaim it loud and clear. You know, when a tumor was being cut out of my throat, I remember them saying, if something goes wrong, that it's possible I could lose my voice. Now that makes you stop and think. Well, something's going wrong, folks, in America today. And it seems like too many of us proclaimers of the truth of God have lost our voice. The voice that you and I must use when speaking to the world is the voice of love and the voice of forgiveness. But hear me well on this. Christian, if you stand at a distance when the world's coming to your home to destroy your family, you're sinning against God. You are to protect your family with all that you can muster. You are to watch over that family and love them enough to give your own life for them. Is that not what our Father did for us? Did he not stand back knowing our names? When Jesus said, Lord, Daddy, Daddy, why have you forsaken me? And how many years it was before I realized he forsook his own son for me. A name that was not in existence. Parents that were not in existence. Yet, he gave it all because he knew we were coming. Will this be the age of the second coming of the Lord? I don't know that. But folks, one thing I do know, this is the multiple coming of all evil that we are witnessing today. There's nothing different that's going on with us today that has not went on in the past. Sadly, even to the point of God's people standing back as they say, meek and mild, folding their hands. We do it out of ignorance, because the word meek, which is used to describe Moses and Jesus and many of the prophets, is misunderstood. When it's given in the Greek, it means as a wild stallion is tamed. Different vision of it, isn't it? As a wild stallion is tamed, I, through my son, am taming you with who you are, with that personality, with the zeal as a wild stallion would have. Now you are mine. And I want you to take my word with the same zeal you lived for hell. Think of it. He did not give us a charge of silence. He commanded us with the power of his word. You will stand. You will be able to conquer. But only through my word. It is my word that's going to be the power, not your human strength. It is the sword of my holy word, the Bible, that's going to fight on your behalf, not you with your own weapons. I want you to come to the battle, and I want you to stand. And when I see you stand, I'll know you're standing in the gap. But I'll not ask you to fight. I'll show you what it means to be a Christian. And I, says God, will devour the land. I will take care of all enemies. I will reciprocate. I will give back to you. I will show you the love that I placed in your heart when you said yes to my son is a powerful love. And I will conquer for you. How many religions do you know that teach that? Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. I have a relationship with Jesus. But let me share this with you here. And listen carefully. When Jesus established his church, there was to be no human hierarchy within the church. I'm a pastor, but I walk no closer to Jesus Christ than any other Christian. Therefore, God says, this is what I want you to do, Larry, and this is what he tells each person individually. But you see, Jesus is the only hierarchy within our faith, Christianity. It is Jesus who deserves to be called the Reverend. It is Jesus who deserves all the glory. It is he who died on the cross and lives today for you and me. A God of such love, he watched his son stand in the gap, even though his own disciples would not stand there with him. The lesson is very clear. If you will not stand for Jesus here, you will not live with him forever there. That's the word. That's the fact. How much of you have you not given to Jesus? He gave all of himself for you and me. Why should I fear death when I realize I'm a Christian? No such thing. They can destroy this body, but yet they got to go through God to do that. But they cannot touch the Christ who indwells me and the love forgiveness that I know exists within my life and yours. Folks, it is time to stand in the gap or sit down and shut up. Either stand in the gap for God or be quiet and watch those who are willing, because it is through the willing heart that the God of all will give. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Heavenly Father, for such love that you give us, for the truth and the peace through your word. Father, I pray that you will truly give us the strength physically, emotionally, spiritually, to stand strong in the gap between hope and hell. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to even mention your name, much less teach your word. Thank you, Father, for such great love. We ask now that you will bless those who have heard your word, touch their heart, touch their life. For we ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.